All my life I have worked towards this goal, and for what? To be brushed aside as easily as a common housefly by an android? A true Super Saiyan would not have fallen. Maybe I'm not who I think I am. Perhaps there are still new plateaus for me to reach, far greater heights to which I must ascend.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Hello, and welcome back to Next Door Villain.
This week, we're talking about perhaps the most interesting man in anime.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's to be number it's a one bold in. Claim by me who has only watched or read one anime ever, which is Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
But he's certainly the most interesting character in Dragon Ball Z, for sure.
Yes, for sure. I know there are some Krillin fans out there. I'm sorry, guys.
Krillin's cool, but he is no Vegeta.
That is right. He is no vegetable. I mean, Vegeta. Yeah. Because his name comes from vegetable.
Yes. Yeah. Fun fact we learned while researching this episode is that a lot of the characters in Dragon Ball Z are named after vegetables, general food items, or clothing.
Yeah. I really like Vegeta, especially, you know, growing up, because he had a very cool widow's peak. And I do too. I was always very self-conscious about my widow's peak, but Vegeta never was. And it was the cool guy with the widow's peak that could pull it off.
Yeah. I liked Vegeta, I think, just because he was just straight up cool.
Right. He was too cool. He was too cool for everyone.
Yeah. And some people, I think, will say that Vegeta's not really a villain, that he's maybe more of an anti-hero. But we wanted to talk about him for a number of reasons, which we'll really get into. And we're going to explain exactly why he is, in fact, a villain. But before we do that, we've got to start, like we always do every episode, with our 30-second intro challenge where we compete to see who can do a better job of slamming all of the possible information out there about the character into an improvised 30-second introduction. If you're listening and you want to try doing this in a future episode, let us know. It's pretty fun. We've got a voicemail line you can call into and try out your hand at a 30-second intro, because it's pretty hard. It's pretty challenging to jam a whole character into 30 seconds. Well, you went first last episode, so I guess I'll go first today.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Vegeta is a race of being that are known as Saiyans. And Saiyans are really powerful. They like to fight and they like to conquer worlds. But in fact, he is actually one of the last of his race because a lot of them were destroyed. And now he is trying to... He's trying to prove how powerful he is and make his race proud.
Make his race proud. Yes. That's good. You got a good essence.
Not my strongest effort, though. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. So Vegeta is a pretty cool guy, but he's also kind of angry at everyone, thinks he's better than everyone. He wants to be the best. He's constantly training to be better than Goku. He's training to fight people. He wants to destroy Frieza, especially because, as we'll talk about, Frieza destroyed his planet. He's very angry, but also very prideful. He has a lot of pride for who he is and for his kind. And he is a very intense guy.
Nice. Solid introduction. Very good job. I'm confident that I will lose this week.
Not this week.
And if you want me to lose, you know how to do it. Just go on our Instagram or Twitter and vote for Tiana.
Or Joe. Or sometimes on the Twitter poll, I'll even put like yourself, like as if you think if you could do better than both of us. But so far, no one has pushed that.
Yeah, that speaks to the integrity of our listeners.
That's true. Wow, you guys are so honest, unlike many of the villains that we talk about.
Anyway, so back to this question of Vegeta as a villain, because I think a lot of people would say that he really is more of an anti-hero. You might even compare him to, say, Walter White from Breaking Bad or Cersei Lannister from Game of Thrones. I think he kind of sits in that realm where he's really loved by a lot of people and does a lot of bad things, but still people might question whether or not he's a villain. Don Draper from Mad Men is another one.
So, and I would say that, yes, Vegeta was in a way kind of a standard or stereotypical villain, especially in the beginning of the show when he first landed on Earth, because he wanted Goku to help destroy the people of Earth for him and get Dragon Balls for himself. And he was just an all-around kind of an asshole.
He shows up on Earth and just starts fighting people.
Exactly. He wanted to kill people. He wanted to kill all of Goku's friends for himself. Later in the show, you know, you kind of see him get a bit, quote unquote, better. And we'll get into more of that later. But at the beginning, yeah, he's pretty villainous. And I think if you knew him in real life, even after the whole Saiyan saga, after he kind of is in a way on Goku's side, if you knew him in your own life, because he acts a bit like an a-hole and is kind of selfish and really only fights for his own benefit, you would think he was a villain in your life too, probably.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons we decided to talk about Vegeta rather than one of the other clear-cut villains like Majin Buu or Frieza or Cell is because of how interesting his character is and how developed it is. Because he's introduced as a villain, and then as the show goes on and we learn about his backstory, he becomes more of an anti-hero where his motivations aren't good, but he's still fighting with the good people. And then later his motivations change again and he actually becomes more like an actual hero and starts doing heroic things. We get to see that full character arc, which is really interesting to see and lends evidence to the fact that people who do bad things or were born into bad situations can change and become better given better circumstances. Which I think leads really nicely into the first thing we wanted to talk about, which is the fact that Vegeta was basically born into villainy. I think it's easy to forget that the Saiyans were essentially a villainous race. What we know about Saiyans is that they were obsessed with fighting and conquering other planets. That's like kind of their deal. And that's what Vegeta's life was. And he was a prince in that life. And that was the trajectory of his life and what he grew up knowing.
Right. He is a Saiyan, and all the Saiyans were those who conquered other planets and kind of sold them off to other people. And they were conquerors. They were like colonizers. But then you also have to know that he like grew up in that environment where it was just commonplace to be the best fighters in the universe and at the same time fight other people and conquer them. It's definitely not a good thing. It's a very bad thing. A backstory too, he's Saiyan. He comes to Earth to see Goku because he tells Goku that he's actually a Saiyan named Kakarot who was sent to Earth as a baby in order to destroy Earth, but he didn't. So he's kind of ticked because Goku is not doing what he was supposed to do as a Saiyan. But essentially comes down to get the Dragon Balls because he hears about them. He knows about them. Long story short, he wants to defeat Frieza with those Dragon Balls because Frieza was the leader of the Saiyans when he was growing up. But then eventually he stays on Earth. Anywho, that's a backstory.
Yeah, it's something that's interesting to think about, that he was more or less born a villain. That's something that it's easy to empathize with, because I think there are a lot of things in our own lives that we can look back on, whether villainous or not, that we don't question because that's what we knew. Like, that was our life. Say you're born into a really religious family and you grew up in a religious community. That's the way that you view and understand the world until you're exposed to differing opinions or views. And you can kind of draw that comparison for a lot of things, a lot of big things and a lot of little things. It's really hard to be too upset with him because he was never exposed to anything else.
And I'm sure they drilled that into him, drilled in that mindset of conquer even more so when he's a prince too. He's supposed to eventually lead people to do these things. Supposed to, anyway. So throughout Dragon Ball Z, we're watching Vegeta try to like unlearn this. And it, of course, in the beginning, it's very difficult to unlearn something that you've been taught your entire life. It's a reason why he comes off as such an a-hole. It's because he is so prideful. His background really fuels who he is. to the max. And to me, I think Goku had it easy.
As a reminder, Goku is also a Saiyan, and so was also born into this conquering lifestyle.
But he was sent as a baby to Earth to destroy it, because apparently Earth had so many weaklings that it was okay for a Saiyan baby to take them on. Then he gets dropped over a cliff or something, and he gets a brain injury, and he forgets all of this, and he becomes a very joyful baby, kind of like how he is a joyful man. Still pretty powerful, but Goku did not really need to unlearn any of this because he got hit on the head and forgot all of it. Vegeta did not really get this quote-unquote luxury of just kind of forgetting his past and forgetting who he is and forgetting what his duty is.
It's really admirable that Vegeta, despite all his pride and despite his entire upbringing, is able to get to a place where he has people that he cares about and then he's fighting on the side of good eventually by the end of the series. Because it is not easy to change something that you were born with and were like bred into, like that environment. It's hard to change your mindset.
And Vegeta kind of does it in a very gradual way, I think, throughout the whole series, from being on Goku's side and from having a family and all of that. But in the beginning, when he's very villainous, that's what's happening. He knows what his duty is, and how could you kind of teach someone in a very short span of time what not to do? So I really liked your example about religion. Hits home, right? How do you kind of go through that process of unlearning something if you choose to unlearn it? What do you do when it's a mindset that you've been brought up in and you're not quite, or the behavior that you're brought up in and you're not sure even whether or not you should get rid of that behavior? Anywho, in order to relate to Vegeta, has there been anything you've needed, like any type of behavior that you've needed to unlearn?
Yeah, well, for me personally, I think that religion is actually a decent example. Though I didn't grow up religious, I did start going to church when I was like in middle school or high school. And I found, I think, a community within the church. And so I really kind of dived into it. Of course, the people you spend time with, the people you talk with, you start to develop the same kind of perspectives and point of views. And that led me to kind of a more conservative mindset. And then, you know, as I left the church and went off to college, my mindset started to change slowly, but it took a number of years to get there. It was very difficult to unlearn the things that I had learned because I learned them with people that I cared about and who cared about me. But ultimately, some of those things that I thought that I believed in, I realized were harmful to other people or people that I was now introduced to in a broader world. Yeah, no, actually, that was a lot of very vague
statements. Sense.
But so, yeah, I can definitely understand how difficult it can be to change.
Yeah.
What about you?
Going off of that, I bet it's very difficult to unlearn those things. I'm sure there were people, correct me if I'm wrong, in your college life who, right when you thought these conservative things, probably thought that you were kind of villainous or in the wrong.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And like Vegeta, I think I was very prideful about it. And when people like called me out on some of my negative views, I was very stubborn. It took me some time and some learning and some listening to overcome the feelings of pride in order to change. I'm definitely relating to Vegeta in this sense.
Yeah. So my example is a little different from a very broad experience, not as intense of a behavior, but it's still a behavior I needed to unlearn. I think like growing up, I don't know if it's an only child thing, I don't know what it is, but I spent a lot of time by myself. So I got very used to not really paying attention to other people. Like in elementary school, I kind of had this tunnel vision. If someone's trying to talk to me or someone looking at me or want me to pay attention to them, I just kind of zoned out. I don't know. It was kind of weird. So I had to unlearn that. And I probably came off as a not so great child. And I needed to spend actually a surprising amount of time unlearning it and being more aware of myself and being more aware of what I'm doing. And it took like a lot of people to teach me this, and it took a lot of time and energy. And this is just in the grand scheme of things, kind of a smallish type thing. And it still took a long time for me to unlearn it. So when you think about Vegeta, this was a massive part of his identity, was this conquering and this pridefulness and selfishness. And so I just think, yeah, that would be difficult to step down from.
Yeah, and to compound on Vegeta's experience growing up, one thing that we have glossed over thus far, and if you're a big Dragon Ball Z fan, you might be wondering, why haven't they talked about Frieza yet? It's because we're about to talk about him now, because in addition to Vegeta being born into a race of conquerors and fighters, he was, from a young age, more or less enslaved by a powerful master, Frieza, even though Vegeta is supposed to be the Prince of the Saiyans. And he ultimately resents Frieza, but isn't powerful enough to do anything about it. And I think this largely shapes Vegeta's identity. Even though he doesn't like Frieza, he learns a lot from him because, you know, we learn from the interactions that we are involved in. And he probably learns from Frieza that the way to get what you want is to be more powerful and to conquer mm-hmm. and take over other people.
Yeah. And I think even just his whole personality, you shouldn't call anger like a personality, but it kind of is when it comes to Vegeta. I think it also stems from that too, just like utter anger with just being at the hands of Frieza, or just like anger in dealing with being a powerful Saiyan and seeing that kind of ruthlessness just around you and wherever you go.
So we learn that the reason, or one of the reasons that Vegeta is coming to Earth is to get the Dragon Balls, because he can use them to gain immortality and overthrow Frieza, which in a sense is in some ways kind of a noble cause, because Frieza has enslaved his people. And though I think he doesn't know it yet, mm-hmm. Frieza destroys all the other Saiyans and basically kills them all. And so when he's coming to Earth, he's not coming to destroy Earth, but the people that he runs into, the Z Fighters, I think Krillin and Gohan are the first that he runs into, they are obstacles in his way. And so even though in his story he is almost somewhat of a hero to his own race, he's a villain incidentally because there are people in his way to getting what he wants. And of course, because he was enslaved by Frieza and because he's from a mm-hmm. race of fighters, he sees people as obstacles that you have to beat in order to get what you want.
He certainly thinks of Goku as a villain in that initial time too, because he's going to Earth because he knows that his planet is now gone. And so there are only a few Saiyans left. He goes and sees Goku and is like, you're a traitor. You need to like have pride for your own kind. You need to do what you should have done a long time ago. And I can't believe you would turn your back on us like that. Not only is Goku an obstacle, but he's also a traitor to Vegeta. So I can totally understand his disappointment in Goku at that time, for sure. And especially when like their planet was destroyed and he probably does not feel like he has much backing for it. Deep down, even though he likes to say, I can do it by myself, but he probably doesn't really want to deep down.
Yeah. The other, I think, interesting thing about being enslaved by Frieza and having Frieza as an enemy is I wonder if it was almost ultimately a positive thing for Vegeta. And the reason I say that is because if Frieza had never shown up, then Vegeta would have grown up Prince of the Saiyans and probably would have been leading conquests to destroy other planets such as Earth. But I think that being enslaved by Frieza taught Vegeta, well, what it's like to be enslaved and conquered. And when he found out that Frieza killed everyone in his family, I think that gave him a point of empathy so that when he started thinking about other people, that he could kind of relate mm-hmm. to them and maybe even feel a tinge of guilt about wanting to conquer, because ultimately he doesn't end up really conquering anyone else. Despite his big masculine fighting, I'm tough, I'm proud, he does not do much conquering. And I think a part of that is what he learns from being conquered.
And you've also mentioned it before, it's not 100% clear why he stayed on Earth after the first time he came. Of course, the first reason is because he wanted to defeat Frieza and get the Dragon Balls. So there's a few different motivations there for staying on Earth. Then he still stays on Earth. And you have to think about why. And I think maybe just from being in a vulnerable position under Frieza's rule could have motivated him to be connected to other people.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Even though I don't think he ever says that.
No, he will never say that.
But you're right. Why doesn't he leave mm-hmm. Earth? And I think the answer is because even though he is fighting Frieza for different reasons than the Z Fighters. I think the fact that they fight together with him, I think he feels some sense of kinship. And because his whole race has been destroyed, that's the only kinship he has. And so I don't think he would admit it, but I think he feels like he has somewhat of a home on Earth. And that's ultimately why he never leaves. And ultimately, I think why he ends up settling down and getting married and then learning what it's like to care for other people and make the final transition to really a hero.
And as a side note, I do have to mention this because some DBZ fans will try to jump in at this point here. Another reason why he stays on Earth is because he wants to be stronger than Goku. So he wants to train. He's like, yeah, I will defeat you, Kakarot, someday. But he eventually steps down from that. But he still works his ass off for that reason, too. To be like, this traitor, one of my not blood brothers, but like, you know, could have been a close person to me, who was supposed to do something. He's somehow stronger than I am. Gets, well, and...
I wonder if his rivalry with Goku is maybe the only way he knows how to express a connection with another person.
That could very well be it. He likes to have a goal, which is a great thing about Vegeta. He's very goal-minded, goal-centered person. He wants to do everything he can to beat Goku and do what he wants. So then he has another person there to help him achieve his goal. And that's the connection.
Yeah. If he can't be vulnerable enough to admit that he wants to hang around Goku, then his reason for hanging around Goku is, well, I have to prove that I'm stronger than him, so I gotta hang out here, and I gotta fight him, and that's the way I'm gonna be right. close to him.
Yeah, guess I just gotta do it. Oh, don't have a planet.
This this pride is really a defining characteristic of Vegeta. I think if you ask anyone, like, what is Vegeta's like core character trait, I think most people would say pride. And it's both a positive and a negative. It often gets him in a lot of trouble, but like you mentioned earlier, I think it's also largely the reason that he works as hard as he does and is able to get as strong as he does in the series.
Like, the Prince of the Saiyans would definitely be very prideful. I mean, you're a prince, of course you're prideful. That's kind of an obvious thing. And to me, I think pride is why Vegeta survives for so long. He has an utter knowing without a single doubt that he will win. And he's very much like, you can never kill me, you can never defeat me. And plus the fact that he works very hard. But sometimes, like, you need to have that prideful mindset to get you through very tough things and to keep pushing through. And so I do admire that about Vegeta too.
Yeah, for sure. And another thing that strikes me about Vegeta and his pride that I really admired is that work ethic that comes with it. Because I started to be frustrated on Vegeta's behalf at how powerful Goku kept getting for seemingly very little effort.
I know, yeah. And I think Goku's the main character, so he has to be the most powerful. But and so he's probably like looking at Goku like, what? Why? I'm better, or like, I can be better. And he tries so hard to do it. He even opts to be controlled by Bidi. Am I saying that right?
I don't know.
He like becomes Majin Vegeta, and he didn't have to be controlled, but he opts to be because he's so desperate to beat Goku. Although we talked about, you know, wanting that connection, he is so angry at the fact that he cannot be the best, and when he is the one who tries to work so hard. And I think a lot of people can relate to that when, like, even just in school, a student can work incredibly hard on their schooling and try super hard, and maybe they do get pretty good grades, but there's some punk sitting in the back who doesn't try at all, but for some reason is a prodigy, and they were just kind of born like that. So you get pissed about it, and then you just get angrier and angrier as time goes on. And Vegeta is definitely an angry person, and there are lots of reasons why, and that's one of them.
Yeah, that's so frustrating. Another example of that would be wealth, whereas like some people who have a lot of money, they can just do things. They can buy the stuff they want. They can use their money to influence other people to get what they want. And it's so frustrating mm-hmm. to see those people succeed because it's so easy for them. Whereas you might be working really, really hard and doing a really, really good job and not seeing as much success. And I think that's what Vegeta mm-hmm. feels. He works so hard, like so hard to get stronger and more powerful. And he trains like all the time. I think he once trained in, maybe I'm misremembering, like 200 times Earth gravity, something like that. That's insane. And Goku trains, but he doesn't train like Vegeta does.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's Super Saiyan. All of a sudden he's Super Saiyan 2.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Vegeta eventually is working with Goku a lot, but it's very frustrating. And another thing about Vegeta's work ethic, too, is he gets very obsessive about this training. And not only can I understand his obsession because of all the reasons that we just explained, but because I can see how, like, when something is not going your way and you have this intense desire to fix it and take action to fix it, he's very much like, oh, Frieza destroyed my planet. I'm going to go kill him. And this is how I'm going to do it. Oh, this Majin Buu, I can't defeat him. I'm going to sacrifice myself. Like, I'm going to do all of these actions. And I can see how Vegeta might even come off as kind of cold because he never really processes this. He just kind of does it. And he probably looks kind of strange, just not really thinking too much about it besides how he's going to do it. And maybe he also has a lot of pent-up anger because he's not processing his feelings as well as he could before he goes to try and do these things. But I think we are all kind of guilty of that. You know, I process my feelings sometimes by crying, but then on the other hand, I try to do action to solve it. And that seems very logical, but I could maybe solve it a bit better if I had thought about it and cried and released some tension about it so that I have a clear head going into it.
Yeah.
To also bring about other examples, has your unwillingness to be defeated in something or your pride ever made you come off as an a-hole, or have you let pride get in the way of doing the right thing?
Yes.
That was a very easy question
yeah,
for
no,
you.
Yeah, no, I'm a very stubborn person, just naturally.
Are you a Taurus?
And no.
Oh, what are you?
I'm a Pisces.
Oh, I'm a Taurus. I get it. I'm very stubborn, apparently.
Yeah. So I like, that's something I constantly have to try to modulate when I'm in various situations. I'm like immediately combative sometimes when people disagree with me. And I have to kind of take a step back and say, is this really something I need to be combative about? Or like, this person disagrees with me. That's maybe totally fine. And I should just like let that go.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other times when I can't let it go, or like I feel like someone has wronged me and I just like want to like tell them or like want to do something about it. And it's so hard not to, when I know that like maybe the better option would be just walk away and forget about it.
But then at the same time, you also don't want that to fester too much without saying things.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm being very pro Vegeta right now. I definitely relate to that. I think everyone gets defensive and prideful, and it's really just part of the human experience. A good thing about Vegeta's pride is that I think his pride fueled him to work hard, as we said earlier, but like when he was training, it also like stumbled across love. So basically he was training and he like stayed at Bulma's, and I'm getting like two different stories mixed up because there's the story in like the manga, which is the anime, which is vague. But then there's also this fan story that I read about. Basically, long story short, there's a scene like in the manga where he's training, but he trains so hard that the whole thing that I forgot the name of just collapses on top of him. So she like takes care of him because he was injured, and then she gets ticked because he likes to train when he's not completely healed yet. Basically that like helps them build that relationship, and do they get married? I don't remember a wedding, but there's things that happen, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, sometimes it can lead you to things on a positive note. Not so positive for Yamcha though. But anywho, my answer to that question is yeah, I think everyone would say yes. I like to work on certain things during the weekend or like after work, just because I feel very driven to do more like creative things. And I have some kind of pride, like if I stop doing it, I feel that I will not do myself justice. Long story short, I'm not going to get too intense into too much into it, but I am guilty of like not calling my parents back or like spending time with people when I should be. And I'm probably coming off as uncaring for others sometimes when I feel very like, no, I need to do this because it's for me. Me. It's mine. And it's, if I don't do this, then I lose my sense of self or I lose a part of me that I can't give up.
Well, I think that's one of the good parts of pride.
It is, but it can be taken too far sometimes, unfortunately.
Yeah. You have to have a balance.
Right,
and
right.
Vegeta is definitely like way too far on the pride side.
Right, right.
But it sounds like you have a little bit more of a balanced
than Vegeta
approach to it. Yeah, than Vegeta.
at least more of a balance than Vegeta.
Yeah. So look at Vegeta's pride as a warning to the way that pride can take over you and your life. And ultimately, what allows Vegeta to get past his pride, I think, is his relationship with Bulma. And when they have their son Trunks, he starts to realize that they are important to him. And instead of just fighting for pride, he starts to fight because he wants to make sure that Earth isn't destroyed because the people that he loves and cares about are living there. And I think that that's really the pivotal moment when he finally becomes a real hero. And he sacrifices his life to try to destroy Boo so that he can save his family.
Yeah, that was definitely a very defining moment where you see him step down from some pride.
Yeah, and it really lends evidence to the fact that having a support network, having people in your life is one of the most important ways to like be a better, healthier person. We say this in a lot of episodes because it's clear for a lot of villains that they often take the path of the dark side because they didn't have support or care or love in their lives. And with Vegeta, we can see that once he got those things, he started to become a better person because he had reasons to fight besides his own pride and his own selfishness.
What happened with Vegeta in particular is that he had people around him initially on planet Vegeta, but the people that he was surrounded by were not good influences either. Yeah. He may have had like a sense of belonging on planet Vegeta during that time, but then you have a better, more genuine sense of belonging of that group of people on Earth that helped. So it's like also not only like, do you have a support system, but what kind of support system do you have?
Yeah. So really, I feel like more than any other villain, and maybe more than any villain we've talked about so far, is I feel Vegeta to be incredibly relatable. And for me, he was the most interesting character on the show.
Yes, very much so. Goku's like, I'm all jolly.
Yeah, Goku was
I am good.
Very one-dimensional.
Right. Like,
I'm the
although
good
he's
guy,
kind of entertaining, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, do you have anything else you want to add?
I don't. And in fact, I am really excited to hear what you have described to me as a little ditty about Vegeta.
Yes, I do have a little ditty. What that means, I'm not sure. It's really just the first word that came to my brain. I wrote some Vegeta ramblings down. So it's kind of like Vegeta talking from his own perspective as like another way for us to relate or like see his side of the story. But I can't really picture him saying this out loud per se, but mostly maybe in his brain, because as we know, Vegeta does not really like being seen as vulnerable. So even in his head, it, you know, you'll hear it when I say it. He is kind of an aggressive person, even when he's thinking about things in his head, probably.
Yeah. So we've got a freeform inner monologue poem.
Yes. But.
But.
I am a beginner on the ukulele.
Oh, there's a ukulele.
Yeah.
That's the it's very Vegeta. No,
I know it's not, but I'm just gonna do some finger picking. I might mess up, I'm sorry guys, but yeah, we'll see how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
You ask what your purpose is on this planet, but I promise I ask it in more ways of rage. I swear I wouldn't confuse my ways with your own. I still stand in the middle of the dirt. I could see brighter stars where I'm from. I'm only here for the drive to my own becoming. I can become a lot. I hate when you can't tell that I can sail into anything. My ship goes to the moon and back. It charges into places we know can't change without us. The dirt on the floor of this planet has been choking my throat. How it wouldn't be this way if I took it as my own, I know. That could be, but we all know how I'd shut the door at the way my father's father stepped on a way to the universe. I only walk with people whose widow peaks are as sharp as mine, my eyes, voice as sharp as mine, and even then, I wouldn't like them. I was born from the rock with molten lava seeping into crevices. I know how to take the erosion this planet is cursed with. I pummel out of the rubble and everything. I know its ridges and the way the moon blinks above it. I can grab the moon, make it form the way I want it, throw it into oblivion. I can't be formed by the external mediocrity. I know it is because anything I flick is mediocre. Why the name for him? I know what came to make it. His name, like mine, was formed from power, from the breath of warriors that looked only higher, tears of those who've gritted through the numbing wind. Those who stood in blinding bruises, they died standing as they always do. I have the force in my hands. The brilliancy is here. You people from Earth, I hear the people laughing, but for what life it is to laugh and know that they do not reach for the air that can lift you into everything. I change the days for monarchies. I change the schedule of kings. I know I want the sun to hold me in its mercy. I want to be lifted at the end of the day to know that I am the one. I was always the one who could hold its fire and not be skinned alive. I am the prince of it. Why the name, you ask? Comes from the edges of the universe. Comes from the steps of those who never knew the definition of trembling. It is because sometimes I really miss seeing the stars. You animals wouldn't get it. The end.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah, I thought it would be a nice touch deep. To add background noise to it.
Yeah, it was that was pretty cool.
Good.
I liked it.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, if you've got thoughts you'd like to share with us about Vegeta or any other DBZ villain, feel free to reach out to us Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Next Door Villain. You can also send us an email to nextdoorvillain@gmail.com.
Yes. Please follow us. Please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. That would be dope. Or anywhere.
As always, the episode was written, produced, edited, everything by us, Joe Anderson and Christiana Hennings. From the comfort of our own homes on the east and west coasts of the United States.
Yes, we represent. All right, well, thanks for listening, guys, everyone.
Yep, until next time.
Until next time.